Welcome to Truth and Circumstances, where we apply the truth of God's Word to the difficult situations of real life. I'm Kyle Lamb, and with me is Greg Birdwell, preaching pastor at Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio. Well, today we're continuing the discussion on the question, are there specific doctrines I should teach my children before they leave home? If so, what are they? And we're picking up with the exclusivity of Christ.
The exclusivity of Christ. This is very, very important. And, you know, there are other doctrines that we could teach, certainly. We're just hitting the ones that we want to really, really hammer before the kids leave home.
Right. And first, Greg, what do you mean by the exclusivity of Christ?
Okay. The exclusivity of Christ refers to the truth that Christ alone is the way to salvation. So Jesus said about himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's John 14:6. Paul picks up in Romans 10 and teaches, for with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. He goes on later in Romans 10 and says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So in order to be saved, one must consciously, intentionally, knowingly trust in Christ alone to save them from their sins. So there are some people who would say that all roads lead to God, and this is an idea that some have referred to as inclusivism. All roads lead to God, or many roads lead to God. So they would say Islam, Buddhism, Christianity, Mormonism. All of those people eventually find their way to God. The exclusivity of Christ is a doctrine that says, no, there's only one way, and it's Jesus, and all those other roads lead to the eternal wrath of God. And, you know, we will tend to be called bigots and haters for that. No, we're just holding to what the Bible teaches.
Right.
We don't say this out of malice, but out of love. I mean,
right.
You go back to the old overused analogy of somebody in a burning building. Is it loving to tell them that, oh yeah, you'll be fine if you
there's
stay
an
in there.
Exit in that back room there, and it actually has no windows or anything.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You can get out of that window that doesn't open. That's not loving. Others would say, yes, Christ is the only way to salvation, but one doesn't necessarily need to consciously have faith in him in order to be saved. So someone in the unconverted or unevangelized parts of Africa, someone with good thoughts toward God, doing his best to live a godly life, that person will be saved by Christ, even though he doesn't know the name Christ. Okay, so there are some people who would go to kind of a softer inclusivism that way. But there are a number of problems with that. First of all, no one has good thoughts toward God. The Bible teaches that. Romans 3:10 says, no one seeks for God. There isn't anybody like that. No one does good. As I mentioned a minute ago, Romans 10 teaches that faith comes from hearing the word of Christ. You must hear the word of Christ, the gospel, and trust explicitly in that gospel to be saved. So there is no brand of inclusivism that is faithful to the scriptures. The exclusivity of Christ is what the Bible teaches. He's the only way, and you have to consciously believe in him explicitly and specifically in order to be saved.
Amen. Well, there are so many doctrines we could major on with our kids. Why would you include this one as one to make sure you impart before they leave home?
Okay. Well, first I would say that it's foundational. A squishy religious inclusiveness is diametrically opposed to the biblical gospel and to the things that Jesus said about himself. So if you lose the exclusivity of Christ, you actually lose biblical Christianity. And we want our kids to know that they can't be saved any way other than by faith in Christ. If we want to, evangelize our kids, we want to give them the actual gospel. The actual gospel includes this idea of the exclusivity of Christ. A second reason to major on this is that this doctrine is under serious attack in our culture, and our kids will be confronted with it. I'm sure you have probably come against this in the secular workplace.
Mm-hmm. Either it's atheism, and the next step up is inclusivism. If they right. do believe, it's, well, you know, why does it have to be through Christ alone? So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and so if you're not prepared for that, it can kind of rock you. Over Easter weekend, I read an article entitled "President Carter, Am I a Christian?" A guy named Nicholas Kristof in the New York Times interviewed Jimmy Carter and asked him a host of questions about Christianity. And Kristof's questions were the kind of questions that our kids can expect to hear from a skeptical, inclusivistic culture. And Jimmy Carter's answers were the kind of answers you could expect from someone who is scared to death of that culture. The kind of answers that you could expect from somebody with no biblical spine. Now, hopefully, we're not going to have the Secret Service parachuting in. Hopefully, I can say about a former president that he has no theological clue.
Right.
But we'll see. So our kids are going to get those kinds of questions. They need to be rock solid on them so that their faith will stand the challenge.
One of the questions in that interview by Nicholas Kristof was this: what about someone like me whose faith is in the Sermon on the Mount, who aspires to follow Jesus' teachings, but is skeptical that he was born of a virgin, walked on water, multiplied loaves and fishes, or had a physical resurrection? Am I a Christian, President Carter? President Carter's answer was this: I do not judge whether someone else is a Christian. Jesus said, "Judge not." I try to apply the teachings of Jesus in my own life, often without success.
There's so many things there that are becoming typical, both in terms of the culture's attack on Christianity and the church's lax response. Our kids are going to hear this idea from people: I choose to just follow the teachings of Jesus, not to jump off the intellectual bridge of believing that he's the only way to God, that he was virgin born, that he was raised from the dead. If you hear that kind of thing enough, it can get to you, and it may even persuade you that it's a viable position. So we need to make sure that our kids know that this Jesus that the people in the culture talk about, this free love hippie, this is not the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of the Bible said of himself, "I'm the only way." And he also said things like this in Matthew 10:34 and following: "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I've come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." He also said something like this in John 6:53: "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you." So Jesus himself did not allow for this. You can just take these soft, squishy teachings and mold them to your own lifestyle. The Jesus of the Bible called for people to cut their hands off, gouge mm-hmm. their eyes out, and follow him. I mean, he called them to follow him with absolute abandon. Our kids need to understand that the Jesus of the Bible is not the Jesus that the culture talks about. So we need to help our kids see that when people say things like, "I want to follow the teachings of Jesus," and by that they mean some nebulous moralism, those people are showing how little they know about what Jesus taught, and specifically what he taught about himself. So we need to help them see that it makes no sense to say, "I'm going to base my life on the teachings of Jesus," but ignore the resurrection, when nobody said more about the resurrection in the Gospels than Jesus himself. He predicted it 4 times just in Matthew. And these Gospels, where people get the teaching of Jesus, they're the same documents that teach that Jesus rose from the grave. They're the same documents that teach that he was born of a virgin. So if somebody is jumping off of an intellectual bridge, it's the person that's basing their life on part of the words of Jesus saying, I want to pattern my life after the teachings of Jesus, but then they're calling the rest of Jesus' words preposterous. So we need to teach our kids to think through these things and understand that if somebody's jumping off an intellectual bridge, it's really not the believer who's holding to the whole testimony of Christ, but to those who would pick and choose. So the surest way to put our kids on the road to having their faith rocked is to not give them the answer to these questions.
Right. Well, it's pretty obvious that Nicholas Kristof's questions were designed to tear down the exclusivity of Christ. Here's another one he had. How can I reconcile my admiration for the message of Jesus, all about inclusion, with a church history that is often about exclusion?
And again, with that question, Kristof is demonstrating how little he knows about Jesus' teaching. And if you read this article, you'll see what he means by inclusion. What he means is everybody is okay. Everybody is okay with God. And Carter doesn't challenge that idea at all. In fact, here's the most direct question that Kristof asked regarding this issue of inclusivism. He says, one of my problems with evangelicalism is that it normally argues that one can be saved only through a personal relationship with Jesus, which seems to consign Gandhi to hell. Do you believe that? So he poses that question to Carter. And our kids are going to hear that kind of thing. I've heard that kind of question. And that question is phrased in such a way as to make Carter or any other person who's hearing that question, it kind of makes us the bad guy if we believe in exclusivism, as if we're the ones who sent Gandhi to hell. You know,
right.
It's kind of a ridiculous idea. We've got to prepare our kids for this kind of questioning, and the best answer to those questions is found in the scriptures that we've already shared in this episode. Romans 3:10 and following says, no one does good, not even one. No one deserves salvation. All have sinned and deserve the wrath of God. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Paul wrote in Romans 10, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So when people like Gandhi are held up, Gandhi was a wretched sinner who deserved eternity in hell, just like you and me.
Mm-hmm.
So the thinking on the part of the questioner is wrong. And the right answer to Kristof's question, to any skeptic's question, is, I believe the whole Bible. I believe all of what Jesus says. I believe all of what the apostles said. The Bible teaches that salvation comes only through faith in Jesus Christ. If Gandhi did not trust in Jesus Christ to save him, he's not saved. That's what the Bible teaches. And the Bible doesn't apologize for that. So we shouldn't apologize for that. We should mourn the death of sinners, but we shouldn't be embarrassed by the truth of the scriptures. We shouldn't be embarrassed by the exclusivity of Christ, but rather out of compassion for sinners, we should stand up for it. Now, Carter, right, like so many people do, he punted on this, and he did what the culture pressures us to do. His answer to that question was, I do not feel qualified to make a judgment. I'm inclined to give him or others the benefit of any doubt, which is basically him saying, yeah, I think he's probably okay with God.
Right. Yeah. It just reveals his fear of the biblical message, really, when
right,
it comes down to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you lose the exclusivity of Christ, you lose the gospel and biblical Christianity.
Yeah, and if our kids can be persuaded to give that up, they can be persuaded to walk away from the faith altogether. And we need to raise our kids to have greater fortitude in the face of a pluralistic culture. If we don't talk about these things before they leave home, we're kind of doing them a disservice, because this world is not going to be kind to them. We need to prepare them for that.
Right.
And, you know, a good way to do this is to just kind of role play it, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, ask them these questions and see what they say, and then help them to think through the answers and formulate the answers.
Right. Well, by the way, I think it was last Christmas, Timothy Keller was interviewed as well by Kristof, and he asked many of the same questions. If you want to hear how these questions are answered biblically, Timothy Keller did a wonderful job, and you can really learn from his responses and compare and get a better understanding.
Absolutely. That's a great idea. So those of you listening to this episode, you can Google you can Google both of these articles, President Carter, Am I a Christian? And Tim Keller, Am I a Christian? You might also Google Nicholas Kristof's name. You can pull up both of those. Jimmy Carter is the example of what not to do.
Right.
Tim Keller knocks it out of the park. I mean, he just is fantastic. So, yes, Tim Keller answers the questions very well.
Well, Greg, that's all we got for today. Until next time.
All right. See ya.
This has been Truth and Circumstances. You can visit our website at truthandcircumstances.com. If you have any questions you'd like to hear us address on the podcast, you can email those to questions@truthandcircumstances.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and ask your questions there. Truth and Circumstances is a ministry of Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.